We're continuing to listen to God's word, and Bill Wright is going to read from the back there for us this morning some words from Isaiah chapter 33.
Isaiah 33, verses 5 and 6. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with his justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. This is the word of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. We're going to be thinking a lot about keys this morning, and because we're thinking about prayer, the question is, what is the key to prayer? With prayer, sometimes I wonder about prayer and think, why did Jesus teach us this prayer, the Lord's Prayer? Why did he give us the Lord's Prayer? And it's actually, if you think about it, most of us struggle to pray. We struggle with the whole notion of praying. But Jesus gave us this pattern, which we will pray later on in the service, to help us, to give us a pattern that is the key to what we do when we pray. It's the key to what prayer is all about. And I'll explain that in a wee while.
As we stand, we pray. Jesus, you are our hope in life and forever. And so we put our trust in you, and we ask now that as we come and we consider the words that you gave to your disciples, not simply to learn from, but words to speak to the Father, help us, Lord, to learn and to put into practice what you speak into our hearts and our minds. For this we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's sit down. And I'm going to try and do a kind of lightning talk this morning to cover a lot of ground very, very quickly indeed. But I have a help that we will give out at the end to help you remember what has been said. We've been learning about keys. That reading from Isaiah 33 reminded us that the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Walking with God, knowing God, being concerned for what the Lord thinks is the most important thing that a follower of Jesus can do. So I want to try and offer some keys today, and one key in particular to help us to pray. Praying is not easy. Some of us here are what is sometimes called ordained. I'm never always confident about that or comfortable with that phrase, because all of us are ordained, aren't we? We all belong to the priesthood of all believers we talk about. All of us are called, who follow Jesus, are called to by him to live out day to day the gospel. Wherever we find ourselves, in our homes, in our workplaces, with our family and with our friends and with people that we meet. So we're all ordained, but some of us here get to wear the collar of the dog, as it's sometimes known, or the clerical collar. I once had a person work with me in a church who described it. He described working for the church as being a professional Christian, which is a horrible phrase. I never liked it. It is rubbish, and I don't subscribe to it. We are all called to be full-time Christians. But some of us are set aside for particular roles within the life of the church, hence why we have people who are ordained. And the thing about ordained people is when people are going to get ordained, they have to learn how to pray. It needs to be part of the discipline of their life. And so when people are at theological college, they will do daily prayer, morning and evening. It becomes part of the rhythm that you have to pray. And the idea is that you will pray. If you come from an evangelical tradition, which many of us come from, the idea is similar to the idea of a quiet time. Anyone familiar with that phrase, having a quiet time? Just checking you're with me. And the idea is you set aside time every day to read the Bible and to pray to the Lord. So whatever tradition we come from, we all have that kind of experience. This is what we kind of know that we're supposed to do this. We're supposed to pray. And we all find it really easy, don't we? It's such an easy thing to pray, isn't it? Most of us find it quite hard to be disciplined about it. Sometimes we find it difficult to know what to say. What are we going to pray? That's why the Lord's Prayer is so important. If you do not know what to pray, pray the Lord's Prayer. Here's why. It covers all the bases. Everything you could possibly pray for is in the Lord's Prayer. So if you struggle with words, you struggle to put words together, and some of us are in that situation, we can say the Lord's Prayer. It used to be that everybody learned the Lord's Prayer in this country. You would go to school. I can remember being at primary school, and it was taught in primary school. Anyone else learn it at school? Not Sunday school, but proper school. It was part of the culture. It's part of what you did. But as education, religious education, you learned the Lord's Prayer. I doubt if there's many schools that are teaching the Lord's Prayer these days. At least not state schools. And so lots of people don't know it. They don't know the words. They couldn't. If you said, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. I don't have any sheets with it written on. We're not going to project it on the screen. Some of us would really struggle because we've never come across the Lord's Prayer. We don't know what it is, where it comes from. It comes from the Bible, from the gospel. But we might not know the words. And so I want to really help us think about it this morning. So it's going to be a rattling through the whole of the Lord's Prayer. And at the end of what I'm saying, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. And then I'm going to invite you to make a response. And all the time, I'm holding a key in my hand. This is the key to prayer. So we begin with this phrase, Our Father in Heaven. Say it together. I didn't hear you. You can see where I'm at today. I'm going to be a little bit kind of driving you along. Our Father in Heaven. What is this about when we say Our Father in Heaven? It's a kind of interesting phrase in our culture because some people, and even some people in the church, aren't comfortable with calling God Father. Because when we call Him Father, I'm going to use a technical word here, when we call Him Father, we're submitting to the patriarchy. Do you know that word? I could invite someone up to explain the patriarchy. Ali, do you want to come explain the patriarchy? No, she's not coming. You had your chance. So the idea that, you know, God is a man and he's in control. And so some churches you'll get, let's call God Mother. And you could find some basis for that. So, for example, in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says, Jerusalem, he looks at Jerusalem and he's terribly distressed at what he sees happening in Jerusalem. He says, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. So because of verses like that, we could say, well, Jesus is saying, you know, a bit like being a mum. Because that's what mums do, and God, therefore God is like that. But you see, here's the difference. When Jesus teaches, he teaches us to call God Father. And he might say like a mother, but he doesn't say God is a mother. The form of address he uses is God is our Father. So we have this problem with fathers because sometimes dads are a bit rubbish. They don't do the stuff that dads should do. They fail their children. They might be bad dads and go off the rails and just ignore their children. And so we might have that in our minds that sometimes dads are bad and therefore all dads are bad. But God is the perfect Father. He has nothing but love for us. So much does He love us that He sends His Son to die on the cross for the sins of the world. Because He is our true Father. And so when we say our Father in Heaven, what we're doing there is we're approaching Him as Father, the Father who loves us. And right at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, what we're doing is basically saying, I am here to worship. I am here to worship. I'm putting down everything else that's going on in my life. I'm putting down all my concerns and all my fears to meet with my Heavenly Father, who loves me and cares for me. It is worship. And notice this, the Lord's Prayer begins with worship and it ends with worship, as we'll see at the end. Our Father in Heaven. The next line says this, Hallowed be your name. You're learning, you're going to do this all the way through. Hallowed be your name. When the football season began a few weeks ago, and if you go to watch a football game, you quite often, if You will shout in support of your team, or rugby, or whatever sport. You'll shout in support because you want your team to do well. You're sort of honouring your team by shouting them and making them know that you support them. And when we say, hallowed be your name, we're telling God how great you are, Lord, how great you are. And not only that, you're not only great, but you mean so much to me. It's not about other people hallowing. Sometimes we're going to hallow God. We're going to put God. We want everybody else to hallow God's name. But it's about me as an individual honoring God and saying how great he is. And so when we do this, what we're doing is we're bringing adoration. Anyone in love in the building? Wow. Yes, Triona. I don't. Who are you in love with? Oh, Phil. Okay. Anyone in love in the building? I hope you are. Some of you are in love. I don't mean just romantic love. I hope you love people around you. But when you love somebody, it's really important to show it. And it's really important to say it, isn't it? And the words that we might use are adoration. I adore you. I adore you. And give thanks for that person that you love. And that's what we're doing here when we say, hallowed be your name. We're bringing adoration and thanksgiving. We're honoring God and putting him first. And then we say, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Praying that God's kingdom, God's will come. Will come in our lives, will come about in our family, in the life of our family, among our friends, in our workplaces, in our churches, in our country, in the world, in politics, in commerce, everywhere. So this is a kind of all-encompassing, it covers everything you could possibly think of. Not my kingdom, not what I want, not what I think, but what you want. And it begins with me. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we're not just praying about what's happening around us. We're praying in my life. Make your kingdom come. I'm open to that possibility that you'll make your kingdom come in my life. And so what we're doing here is we're offering intercession, both for ourselves, but for those around us. Praying for the world. And then we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Now, this is one of those really difficult phrases as we've gone through the whole of the Lord's Prayer. There have been phrases that have been quite difficult. And this is one of them. I don't know that we brought out the full hardness of this. But when we say these words, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, what we're saying there is we're giving God total control over all the areas of our life. So what we're doing here is that thing called submission, submitting to what God wants. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. And again, we tend to think of that as being everybody else. Lord, help everybody else to submit. Help all the world leaders. Help the leaders of the Conservative Party and the Labour Party and the Liberal Party and the Scottish National Party to submit to you. Or help my boss to submit to you. But actually, again, it begins with me. Help me to submit to you, to come under your authority. We often talk in our house about those verses that say, wives, submit to your husbands. It's a great verse, isn't it? All men who are in favor of wives, submit to your husbands. Just put your hand up. Okay? Wives, submit to your husbands. And again, we kind of struggle with that. We don't like it. And I'm constantly reminded by someone that, yeah, I'll do that the day that you do what the rest of those verses say. Sacrifice yourself. Give yourself up, just as Jesus gave himself up for the church. Sacrifice yourself, all this. So it's a mutual submission that we're talking about. Putting one another first. That's what makes marriage work. And it's the same with our relationship with God. We can talk about being a follower of Jesus, but see, if we don't submit to him, we don't submit to the Father, we don't say, want to follow what you're saying, Lord, and do what you want me to be doing, then there's something not quite right about our relationship with him. And so when we pray this, we're praying about ourselves and the world, your will be done on earth, i.e. in my life. Submission. And then we have this phrase, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Boy, do we need to pray that prayer, don't we, right now? With inflation and all that stuff happening. Really concerning. It's a prayer that we will pray more and more, I suspect. And what we're saying is asking God to provide for today's needs for ourselves and for others. Lord, would you provide our daily bread? Give us what we need. And again, it begins with us. Me, personally, not saying I am self-reliant, I can depend on myself, but I depend on you, God. I depend on you for everything. And we pray that for ourselves, and we pray it for other people. And it may be as we pray this prayer, we find an answer to the prayer really quickly. Give us today our daily bread, individually and together. But maybe we will become the answer to that prayer for other people, because the Lord has blessed us with ample. He's given us quite a lot of bread that we can redistribute. As a church, we have wonderful buildings, and one of the things we're exploring, we've begun exploring with other churches, is how we might, through the autumn and winter, open up buildings during the week to provide a place for activity, but also a place that will be heated if folk are struggling with bills. It might be that we will be the answer to some prayers there. So this is petition. It's calling to God and saying, Lord, we need your help. We depend on you. We cannot depend on ourselves. Provide us with what we need. And then we have this phrase, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins. Is there anyone here who has never sinned? Always like answering that question in case there's a brave. So you've never done anything wrong, you've never said anything wrong, you've never done anything wrong, you've never omitted to do that which is right. None of us can say that. All of us have sinned. Some of you have sinned this morning, really badly, when you got angry with the dog or the cat or whatever. All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, we're told in the letter to the Romans. All of us are sinners. And so when we say this line in this prayer, we're admitting to God that we have got it wrong and we're asking for forgiveness. And so this is what's called confession. If you come from a Roman Catholic background, you sort of have the tradition maybe of going along to confession with a priest, which you can do. But this prayer is available to us so that we go directly to God. It's good for people sometimes for us to have someone hear us confess our sins, particularly to receive forgiveness, to have the forgiveness of God declared over us. But actually, we have direct access to the Father through the Son, through what Jesus has given us, that we can confess our sins. So some of us this morning need to confess our sins, and we'll do that in a moment as well. Forgive us our sins. And then, again, one of the hardest lines that we learned about a few weeks ago, as we forgive those who sin against us, telling God how you have been sinned against and forgiving those who have hurt you. One of the hardest things to do, and we learned about that and tried to put it into practice, laid down some of the unforgiveness in our hearts and minds. And it's an important thing to do daily, to lay down all that anger and frustration and maybe bitterness and saying, Lord, I'm offering forgiveness. And you know why I'm offering forgiveness? Because you've forgiven me. Please forgive us, we say, as we forgive those who sin against us. So a sign that we're truly following Jesus is that we're able to do that. We're people who offer forgiveness. And then we say, lead us not into temptation. Actually, let's go back, because I don't think I said, as we forgive those who sin against us, and invited you to say it. I forgot to do it. Thank you. And then we have, lead us not into temptation.
So you're doing it. That's great. And when we do this, we're asking God to give me, us, or someone else strength over particular areas of evil to which we, me, or someone else falls prey. We're all subject to temptation. There's a series of films called Predator. Anyone seen this? Back in the 1980s was the first one. Arnold Schwarzenegger was in the first one. Predator, nobody? Few people have seen it. I knew you, Gavin, you would have seen it. And there's a whole series of them, and there's a new one out that they've made, which goes back, which kind of is reminiscent of the first one, called Prey. And it's set in the 18th century. And it's about these alien creatures that come to Earth and are hunters and are hunting down human beings. And again, when I watch that, I kind of am reminded of the devil. He's hunting around looking for people to devour. But 1 Peter, we're told this really clearly. Beware, watch yourself, because the devil's like a prowling lion roaming around looking for someone to devour, to tempt us. So that's why when we pray, we say, Lord, I can't do this in my own strength. You know where I'm weak and where I need help. Lead me not into temptation. And we are saying, when we say this, we're saying, deliver me from this. Deliver me from the predator that is the evil one who would want me to be taken away from you. I need your help and your protection. And then we say, but deliver us from evil. And here we're saying, we know that you can deliver us from evil. We're recommitting to be obedient, to stop going in that selfish direction and doing evil and following God. Deliver us from that so that we might do something positive. We're praying for protection from evil as we pray on the armor of God. We thought about this last week. And we're saying we cannot do this on our own. We have to surrender to you. This is what it's all about. We surrender to you, Lord. We know that we cannot rely on ourselves. No church can rely on itself, on its own members. No, any church that tries to do that and says, we'll be okay, we'll do all right. We just need to maintain the building and we need to just do what we've been doing. No church will survive if it does not surrender to the will of God, if it does not submit to what God is saying through his word. And so when we say deliver us from evil, it encompasses, it covers all of that. Recommitting us to be an obedient person, to be an obedient people, to be an obedient church, and knowing that we are utterly, utterly dependent on his help to protect us from evil. That's why reading the Bible is so important. Teaching the Bible is so important, because as we do that, we're pulled again and again back in God's direction. And then the prayer ends like this. But deliver us, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. And so we begin with worship as we turn to the Father, our Father who art in heaven. We begin like that, but we also end in worship with these words, praising God for his glory and choosing to seek first his kingdom. Saying we want your kingdom to come here and in our communities. We want to see you be sovereign, to be in control, to be in charge. So we offer worship to God. And right at the very end, we get this word.
Amen.
Amen. And when we say it, we're saying, when we are on our own and we say it, we say, Lord, we agree with you in everything you've said. But when we do it together, we're declaring our unity. We agree about these things. These things are important and we are committed to them. And so it's about unity. So when we say the Lord's Prayer together, all these things come up on the screen. All these words, worship, adoration, thanksgiving, intercession, submission, petition, confession, forgiveness, deliverance, surrender, and unity. We're actually doing this really powerful thing. It's the key to our life together. It pulls us back when we say the Lord's Prayer. We learn to say it and it becomes a matter of rote. And sometimes you go to church, you can come to church and everybody's just going, Our Father who is in heaven. And you just, when people, there's no passion in it. There's no fire in it. But actually when we read it, as we will in a moment together, there is fire and passion in it because we're drawn into the arms of the Father who loves us. So it is key. It is key.
to our prayer life. If you cannot pray, if you can't say morning prayer, if you can't say evening prayer, say the Lord's Prayer daily, morning and evening. Doesn't take long. And remember what you've heard today. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. I'm going to invite you to stand. We've got a little bit of a confession at the beginning of this, and then we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. And then we have one last thing I want to invite you to do this morning. So let's stand if we're able. And let's admit our confess our weakness and our need for God as we say at the first two slides together. Let us say, Lord, forgive us all our sins. Lord, help us to pray. When we do, please meet with us through your Spirit. Teach us through your word. Show us where we need to change and give us all we need to serve you in the world for the glory of your name. Amen. And so we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And so we are in unity with one another. I really want to help you to pray the Lord's Prayer more and more and more. So I'm going to invite you, we're going to sing one last song. We're going to sing In Christ Alone. And I want to invite you to make a response. You do not have to do this, but if you want to commit to saying the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to give you something to help you do this. And what I suggest is we've got two things to give to you. So it's a copy of the Lord's Prayer on a piece of card. And on the back are the points of what has just been said, the teaching points for this morning. And also on the front of it, so that you help to help you remember how important all of this is, there is a key stuck to the front of it. So every time you will look at it, you go, oh, I remember that talk that strange man did in church about the importance of the Lord's Prayer. So what I would encourage you to do is take this. Don't stick it on the fridge, which I have suggested in the past. You'll see it and not think very much of it. But why not, if you have a bed, hopefully everybody here has a bed, but if you have a bedside cabinet, put it by your bed. The key will be stuck on it. And say, Lord, I'm going to, whatever else happens, how much prayer life I have, I'm going to say this, the Lord's Prayer, every day, morning and evening, and you might even read the back and be reminded of what the Lord's Prayer is all about. So these are over here. And during the singing of our last song, if you would come, just come down the middle aisle if possible and back round that way, if you could go that way round so it would just keep the flow going. And come and get one of these and take that away with you this morning. Let's sing together our last song, and we're going to sing In Christ Alone. Let's sing.